I think it's perhaps the greatest attribute of God is his love. Of all his attributes, I really truly believe that his love is probably the greatest, because love is something that really cannot be defined. It is something that we know when we feel it, when we've experienced it, and we've felt what love can do, but it's so hard to define love. There is a question. This question was put to a bunch of 4 through 8 year old children, and they were asked to try to define love. And here's what some of them had to say. Rebecca, who's 8 years old, said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too." Now that's love, she said. Billy, age 4, said, "When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth." He was age 4, he said that. I like what Christy had to say. She was six years old. She said, "Love is when you go to eat and give somebody most of your french fries without making them give you any of theirs." That is love. I'll give one more. As Danny, age 7, says this. He said, "Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay." That is love. And we find that as we try to define love, it really is hard to define. It's something that is it is something that we just feel and know and understand, because it means so many things. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 really takes a whole chapter explaining what true love is. And in this passage, John, the Apostle John, is speaking. And by the way, he's very late in his years of age. By the time he's writing this letter, he's writing to second and third generation Christians, people that knew already a little bit or experienced a little bit of the love of God in their life. And he's writing to them about this idea and this truth about God's love, about being a light in this world. I believe that, if I'm correct, John was the one that used the word love more than any other person that wrote in the New Testament or in the Old Testament. He talks more about God's love. And it seems like as I get older in life, that is what stands out more and more to me about God. It is his love, because out of his love, everything else flows out of that. When you realize and understand, when we realize and understand that really that is the key in life, is to love one another, to love God, we find that we are able to do things that we thought we would never be able to do. We're able to forgive people. We're able to help people. We're able to have the right kinds of attitudes in our life, all stemming out of love. And John really focuses on that here in this letter to these second and third generation Christians. He was talking to Christians, by the way, that by this time Christianity had been around for about 40 years, 40 to 50, and now there's false teachers starting to come into the church and preaching a different kind of gospel. There's three main different doctrinal errors that was going on. People that were saying, well, Jesus really was not human. He was just a sort of a phantom. He was God, but he wasn't really God in the flesh, and that was not possible. And that was a teaching that had started coming into the church at that time. And then there was a teaching that said, well, Jesus Christ he wasn't really God. Just the Spirit of God came upon him. He was a man like you and me, yes, but at the baptism, the Spirit of God descended on him, and when he died, it left him, and it wasn't really the person of Jesus Christ that was a Savior. It was the Spirit of God that was on him or in him. And so John was battling that and saying, listen, that's not true. I walked with him for 3.5 years. I know him. John was actually blood cousins with Jesus. Jesus's mother Mary and John's mother were sisters, and so they were he was a person. Jesus was a person John knew very well in his life. He was family with him, and he knew that to not be the case. And then there was another false doctrine coming in that was saying that Jesus was not God and full man. He was just really not exactly what he said he was. And the fact of the matter is that John was trying to teach and remind those Christians of who Jesus Christ is and what the love of God is. And so we pick up in chapter 4 and verse 7 where he says this, "Beloved, let us love one another. So I want you to notice this morning, if you're taking notes, number one, the mandate of love. The mandate of love. You find that John tells those Christians, first of all, when it comes to this thing of love and love in your heart and love for other people, the first thing is we have to love others. And you'll notice that there is no prerequisite for that. There are no conditions to that. You see, John just says, beloved, those that are around you, I want you to know, Christians, that we ought to love one another. It doesn't say love those that do you good. It does not say love those that have given you something in return. Love those that can do something for you in the future. No, it's just a mandate to love one another. And I want you to notice there in verse 7 that he follows that up with this, for love is of God. I want you to know that the source of our love is God. The way that we fulfill this mandate is understanding the source of that love. And that love is not a selfish kind of love. I heard of a young lady who was heartbroken, trying to get back with her boyfriend, and he wrote, she wrote this engagement letter to him, and it said, "Dearest Tommy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Mary." And then she put, "P.S. and congratulations on winning the state lottery." So many times, sometimes our love is that way. It's a selfish kind of love. It's a love that, now that you can help me, I want to be with you. But you'll notice that God's love and the mandate of love in our life for others isn't that way. It's not conditioned by anything. It's the love that we ought to have. And the source of that love comes from God himself. John said, for love is of God. In verse 19 of that same chapter, it says, we love him because he first loved us. See, God's love is a love that is unconditional. I have loved you with an everlasting love, he said in the book of Jeremiah. It's a love that's not really dependent on what I do. And most of the time, our love is like that. Our love is dependent on what that person, the object of love, is for us. For instance, if it's someone that you like who you think is really pretty, if you're a guy and you say, man, that girl is just really pretty. I'd like to make that girl my girlfriend and maybe one day get married with her and have a family with her. Oh, that would be great. And because of her beauty and because of who she is, that is what my love depends on. And you get to the point where you get to know her and it comes to that great day where you can finally say, I love you. And it's really dependent on that person. But you find that God's love isn't dependent on what I can get back. In fact, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, God commended his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, he loved even those that were unlovely. He loved those that had not really done anything for him, those that had rejected him. When he came to this earth, he did not find people that just wanted to hug and receive his message. In fact, he found more people, more and more, that hated what he stood for. And it always dumbfounds me as I think about that, about the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God for us. He never stole anything from anybody. He never hurt anyone. He never said a bad thing about it. He never gossiped about anyone. And yet he was hated. Why? The message that he had. And I thank God this morning, and I hope you thank God this morning, that we serve a God that loves us unconditionally. He is the source of our love. And so John, in the mandate of the love for one another, says, remember that God, that love is of God. He is the one that's going to help you love those things that are unlovely. His word says, Jesus said, you should love your enemies. How can I do that? How can I love people that have wronged me, those that have not done well to me, those that have not treated me right? How do I love them? Just remember, love is of God. God will help you love the unlovely. Why? He did it. And it's through him that we can have that right source of love in our life. So we see that the mandate of love, first of all, John reminds us of the source of love, which is God himself. But then, number two, the security of our love. This comes from our knowledge of how much Christ has loved and forgiven us. He says in verse 7, remember, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Do you see? It's impossible for you to be a Christian and not love. It's impossible. something would not match up. If you say you're a Christian, but you don't have love, then you understand nothing of what God has done for you on the cross. If you're a Christian today and you're saying, well, you just don't understand what has happened to me. You don't understand what this person or that person did for me. John says, listen, if you cannot love that person, then you know nothing of the love of God. It's hard to even say that you're part of the family of God. He said, those that love one another, it shows, it's a sign of what God has done for them, of the love of God. You are born of God. You see, Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. We find that love that we are to have is a source from God, but it also gives us that security. John reminds us, those that love, remember this. You remember that you are a child of God. You're born of God. Those that love are born of God. You know that there's a security and a love of a family? I think one of the things that has really hurt our society more than anything is the breakup of the family. Divorce is at an all-time high and doesn't look like it's stopping at any point soon. The parents have taken this selfish kind of love in their marriage and in their life to the point where they say, well, I can come to a point in my life where I don't love you anymore. And I think the best thing is for us to just split and go our ways. And you know who really has suffered because of that? The children of our society. And now they are so insecure, and we see the insecurity in our society all the time. I don't know if you saw the news. I think it was this past week in Arizona as two girls at school decided to take their own life. Why? Why would someone have suicidal thoughts at such a young age when the promise of life is before them? Why would someone do that? It's a lack of love. Because they've only known a selfish love, a love that says, what can I get? And so many times in our marriages and so many times in our homes, that's been the love that has driven us. The love of what I can get and what are you going to do for me? And John reminds those that are reading this letter, you Christians, remember that love is of God. And because God has loved us, we can love others. You can be secure in that love. You can understand that it's not about what people have done for me, but what God has done for me that allows me to love someone else, even the unlovable sometimes. Ephesians 4:31 says, and 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We find that John just reminds us this morning, there's a mandate of love. We are to love today one another. Why? Because God is the source of love. God has commanded us to love one another. He gives us the ability and he gives us the security. He says, listen, if you're part of God's family, he that loveth is born of God. You're in the family of God. You're able to love. And then he says, and knoweth God. That word knoweth in the Greek is gnosko. And I like in the Spanish, there are two words for know. There's saber, right? And there's conocer. Now, what is the difference? Saber is just to know something about. For instance, I know George W. Bush. I don't know him personally. I know that he was president before the President Barack Obama. I know that he was a man that was a governor of Texas for a little bit. I know things about him, and that would say, yeah, I know him, but it's a very general knowledge. But then there's the know in a personal way. And in Spanish, conocer is to know in a personal way. Like, I know Jason. He's my brother. I know a lot, not just about him. I know him. I know if someone were to say, well, I think Jason came and he's been talking bad about everybody and that he's been robbing banks. Probably I'd say, you're crazy. Not Jason. I know Jason. Right? You would have a knowledge. It's a personal knowledge. And John reminds Christians there. He says, listen, we ought to love one another because God loved us. He's the source of love. And there's security that he's given us because he said, listen, you're part of my family, and this is how you can know it. This is how you can know me, through love. I have found that the more that I love God, the more that I get to know God in a personal walk, in a constant walk with him, the easier it is for me to love others. I have found in my life when I have started to get away from the truth of God's word, get away from preaching, get away from good singing like we had this morning and some good songs that remind me of my Redeemer and remind me of the love of God. When I've gotten away from that, it's really hard to love people. It's really hard to love your spouse as you ought to love them. It's really hard to love that teenager that's not really in the right place right now. Not living right and making the right choices. It's hard to love that person when we're away from God. But when you get in a right walk with God, it seems like suddenly love is able. You're able to love that person with a love that's truly like God's, an unconditional love. And we find the mandate of love that John speaks of to those that have experienced and know and are part of the family of God. But then in verse number 8, I want you to notice this, the rejection of love. He says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. I want you to notice this, that it's a personal choice. He, who's he? That person. That person that chooses not to love. You see, may I say this morning that love is not just an emotional feeling that we have. But love is a choice. It is a choice that we make every day. You either love God today or you won't love God. Or you either love your spouse today or you won't love. It is a choice that you have. That's why Jesus was able to say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, he said, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That was something that was taught to those that were in Israel at that time. Hey, if that guy is a Jew, then you ought to love him. He's your neighbor. Oh, but if it's a Gentile or if it's somebody that's done something wrong to you, you can hate them. They're the enemy. And Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You say, love is a choice. He that loveth, that person, he that loveth not, it's a choice that he makes. May I say today, I don't know what and who has wronged you in life today. I don't know what kind of home you grew up in. I don't know what kind of co-workers you have at work tomorrow. I don't know the attitude that they have towards you, but I can say this today, that if you know the love of God and you are part of the family of God, you can love them. It is a choice that you consciously make and God helps you to make. But we notice that John says that there is a rejection of love. It's a personal choice that someone can make. He says, he that loveth not, and then he says, knoweth not God. Do you know that lack of love, the rejection of love, brings about ignorance of God? It brings about the ignorance of God in our society. I want you to know that we're living in a society that has rejected the love of God. And we see its effects over and over and over and over in our life. I was noticing commercials that they've been putting on this week on this idea of love. I don't know if you've seen them. It has a big X-ray screen and it has two people, just two skeletons that kiss, and then they come in front of the screen. And one was a black girl with an Asian boy, and they said love is not racist or it knows no race. And then on the next commercial, they had the same thing. And then it had two people kissing. When they came out, it was two girls. And it said, love knows no gender. And our society is trying to redefine love. Why? It's rejected the love of God. It's rejected what it knows about the truth of God. And because of that, it begins to try to redefine this word of love. It tries to redefine the idea. And let me tell you something. It starts to bring the ignorance of God into our society. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We're living in a society that is full of reprobate minds. People that have rejected the love of God now are ignorant of the truth of God. Someone said it this way, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story. So many times that's how it is. And when we have when we've rejected God's love in our life, that's what it brings about in our life. The ignorance of God. It brings about those that would not know God. In fact, that is a truth that John points out. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. That word knoweth is that same one, gnosko. Oh, you might know a lot about religion, and you might know a lot about the church, and you might know a lot about what the Bible has said, but you don't know it personally. We live in a society that knows a lot about religion, but knows little about God. You know, a little about the love of what God can do in one's life, and the change and the power of love in one's life. So the rejection of love is a personal choice. It's a choice that if it is rejected, brings about the ignorance of God. Why? For God is love. See, when you know God's love, you know God. You can love other people. I'm wondering this morning, who do you love? I want you to notice lastly that John says this in verse number 9, and it's the manifestation of love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. I want you to notice, first of all, in this manifestation of love. By the way, God is not one that just talks about love, but He fulfills that love. He's not like so many politicians that give you promises and promises, and then you vote them in the office, and then they sort of forget all about you. No. And by the way, that's really fresh in our minds because we're in an election year, and we remember all these things of all these promises. And by the way, it's just, listen, can I just say, don't put your hope in some sort of presidential election. The hope of our country does not really rely on who the Republican nominee is going to be or who the Democrat nominee is going to be. The hope of our country rests on what we're preaching about this morning, the love of God. And if we as Christians can begin to manifest this love, and live out this love, listen, our country will turn around in a heartbeat. Dr. R.B. Ouellette, he's a pastor up in Michigan. He always says, he says this, he says, I just remind the people that work for me in my church that if we just remember that we're here to love people, then you'll never have to have a handbook in your life. You'll never have to have a manual of what to do and how to do it. If you just remember, I'm here to love people. And the fact of the matter is, that is our hope today. That is the hope of our country today. I want you to notice that God manifests His love. John reminds those that are reading this letter that God manifested His love by, first of all, giving a choice to send His Son. You'll notice he said He manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son. You know, it was a willful choice that God made. Just like He's given us the choice to love or not love, God willfully gave His Son. He sent His Son. We find that John 10, 17 and 18 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We find that Jesus said, I lay down my life. It's not that He couldn't come down from that cross. It wasn't the nails that held Him on that cross, but it was His love that kept Him on that cross. His love for you and for me. His love to reach you and to reach me. To make us part of His family. We find that the manifestation of God's love was in His choice to send His Son to die for us. What a choice. What a manifestation of love. He wasn't coming to get glory. He wasn't coming to get honored. He was coming to sacrifice, to give. We find that the manifestation of God's love is His choice to die for us. It was a choice that He made. And then I want you to know, as verse number 10, here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, propitiation. It means a substitute, the payment for our sins. You see, do you realize this morning, and John wanted to remind those that were reading this letter, that love that God manifested, that choice that He made, was going to bring about change. It brings about change. Herein is love, that God sent His Son that we might have life, that we might live through Him. God's love was sent to change our destiny, was sent to change our purpose in life. It was come to change our family and who we are with. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Ephesians 2:4-5, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." We find that love of God is what brings true change to our life. The manifestation of God's love wasn't just in the fact that he said he loved us. It wasn't just in the fact that he gave us life and created us and put us on this earth. It was manifested in that he gave of himself. This morning, as we celebrate this day of Valentine's Day, this day of love, the question must be asked, who do you love this morning? What is the love of God doing in your life? How is it manifesting itself to others? Or perhaps this morning you're here and you've never experienced the love of God. You say, "Man, I've known about that. I've known that God sent his son, and I've heard about the story of Jesus, and I've heard about the story of the cross. But I've really never had in my life had a time in my life where I've accepted that truth in my life. Where I have said, God, I need your forgiveness. I need your love. I need to change my destination. I need a change of purpose in my life. And I need the love of God in my life." In his book, Moments for Mothers, Robert Strand wrote about the conflicts of a family in Glasgow, Scotland. After years of rebellion, a daughter finally rejected her parents, their values, and their faith. She set out on her own to enjoy a life without restraints and soon became enslaved to her liberated choices. After years of misery followed, she lived on the streets. She sold herself for money. She depended on rescue missions for survival and for food. And because of her self-imposed detachment from family, she didn't know that her father had passed away during those years and that her mother had not quit looking for her. One day, as she was in a place, she saw a picture that her mom had posted in one of the city's homeless shelters, and scrolled across the photo of her mother was the words, "I still love you. Come home." In wonder and disbelief, she set out for her home in hopes that she was indeed still loved. By the time she arrived, it was the middle of the night. Her heart raced as she stood on the porch and prepared to knock, but her countenance suddenly changed. She tapped on the door, and the door sort of just came open by itself. And she ran to her mother's bedroom. She was fearful that someone perhaps had broken in and gotten there before her and maybe harmed her mother. And she was desperately wayward, and she was desperately looking for her mother. And when she got to the bedroom, she found her mother. She reached for her. She hugged her. She embraced her. And she was crying. And her mom said, what's wrong? Why are you crying so much? She said, I just saw that door was open. I thought maybe something had happened to you and I wasn't going to reach you in time. And I wanted to know if you still loved me. And the mother replied, "You know, dear, from the day that you left, that door has always been open. I've not locked it, waiting for you to come back." Do you know that God's love for us was manifested, that even while we were making wrong choices, though we had rejected the love of God, that door is still open. That love for us that the Savior had is still there even today for you and for me. God says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody that puts their faith in Jesus Christ, whosoever shall believe on him shall have everlasting life." This morning, I want to tell you that God's love is a powerful love. It's a love that reaches other people. It's a love that if rejected brings about consequences that there's no changing. And it's a love that God manifests in his Son every day. A love that says, "You can come to me anytime." "Yeah, but you don't know the decisions I've made. You know, you don't know the mistakes I've made." God said, "The door's open. The door is open today for you to receive that love. So I ask you this morning, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2016, who do you love? Are you ready to accept the love of God in your life? If you say, I've done that, well, then let me ask you, are you loving one another? Is there someone that you need to forgive today? Is there someone that needs to show, that you need to show how much you love them? John reminds us today, God is love. I pray that we will be able to apply that love and live it out in our life. Let's go ahead and pray.